Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I understand this is an obedience school.
That's right, sir.
You have a reasonable success rate, do you?
Oh, we're proud of our record, sir.
Yes, well, I think I have a fairly tough case for you.
We always rise to a challenge. What sort of training are you interested in?
Well, you know, beg, fetch, heel on command, that sort of thing.
Right, sir. What sort of dog is it, sir?
Oh, it's not a dog. It's my wife.
Your wife, sir?
Yes, she's just outside. I've locked her in the car.
Perhaps we should have a look.
Get right. Me out of
Heel!
Wait, can I get you?
Heel! Heel! Oh, you see, it's no good.
Yeah, you do have a problem there, sir.
Do you think you can do anything?
Well, I don't know. We'll do our best. House trained?
Barely. Cooks dinner about once a week at the most.
Should really have brought her in when you first got her.
I thought I could, you know, sort of train her myself.
A lot of people think that, sir. Before they know where they are, they have a renegade on their hands. Now, does she beg?
Never.
Fetch drinks?
No.
Dig holes in the garden?
I wish she would.
Well, we'll do what we can, sir.
I would appreciate it. She bit the postman on the leg last week.
Oh, one other thing. What's the pedigree?
Oh, the very best.
Well, we'll do what we can. But I wouldn't hold that too much, hey? But it looks like a particularly bad case of willfulness. Mm. Now, what was your name again, sir?
Phillips. Captain Mark Phillips.
This is ABC Deep Fried Radio, and we'll be back in half an hour with our Tony Baldwin, Kevin Daly, Angela Webber, Jill McKay, Adam Byrne, Peter Smalley, Lance Curtis, Jane Harders, and Drew Forsyth. Music for Dining by Arthur Greenslade and the G-Men, and Dave Coltham and Willie Quar's Ockerman's Octet. Meanwhile, we're slightly out to lunch.
Ma'am.
Oh, hello, Timmy, darling. How's the beach?
Oh, it was great, thanks. Trevor and Jono and I went right out the back behind the breakers.
What is that behind you, Timmy?
Oh, Mum, nobody owns him. He hasn't got a tag or anything. Please, can I keep him, please?
Now, look, I have told you before about bringing strays home. You didn't encourage him, did you, darling? What is it, anyway?
It's a shark. He followed me home. Can I keep him, please?
You didn't thrash about, did you? You didn't bleed in the water.
Oh, no, Mummy. He's cuddly.
Well, it's not really fair to keep such a big shark in a small backyard like ours, darling.
I'll take him for walks, Mum, every day.
But what about feeding him, Timmy?
Sharks find their own food, Mummy. They're very good at that.
Well, we'll have to see what your father says about it, all right?
What? What's that curled up in front of the fire?
That's Prince, Dad.
Hey, down, boy. Get away. Get away.
He likes you, Dad.
Tell him to stop licking my face. He's giving me a nasty nip on the shoulder.
I think he's just being playful, dear.
Take him outside, Timmy. You know I don't like sharks in the house.
Come on, Prince. Come on, boy. Let's play fetch the stick. Follow me, boy.
Looks like her, he looks like me. He's none of the things we hoped he would be. That's Junior. We call him Junior. Well, his nails are black and his hair is pink. His mother spends all day at the shrink room. Junior, glue sniffing Junior.
Yeah, Junior has one major talent. That's sitting with nothing to do.
Tell him, Teddy.
Waiting to borrow my wallet when my busy day is through.
Yeah, he sold the house, the car, the dog. There's not much left but a bugger to flog. That's Junior, our baby Junior.
Door's BMX bike out here.
Oh, it's only his pet tiger shark. He's teaching it to do wheelies.
Ah, is that what it is?
Come on, Prince, up on your fins and don't bare your teeth at me like that. Slow, slow, quick, quick, slow. That's it. Got it, lad. Right. All right, up on your fins now. Leave Mr. Costello's trombone alone. You can rest now. Just have to follow Mr. Greenslade and his Lilo loungers.
Hello, now it's time for our weekly Pets Corner with our regular veterinary consultant, Bruce Losis. Welcome, Bruce.
Hello, it's nice to be with you again, and as usual I'm here in my busy surgery at the Drainage Hills Clinic, and this week's letter comes from Anthony Gargle of Stringball East. Gee, I really like the new supermarket at the top of the hill there where the park used to be, Anthony. And you write, Dear Bruce, my mate Dazza has a great big box in his dad's garage full of white mice. There must be about 50 mice in it, and he said he would give me a pair. But my mum said I couldn't have them. She said I should get a healthy type of pet, and I would like to know what is a good healthy pet to have. Yes, Anthony, you know, I'm inclined to agree with your mum a little bit on this one. Not that mice aren't healthy, they're perfectly healthy, but they have a way of multiplying extremely rapidly, and I think that's why your little friend has so many. But there's another little problem I think we should tackle when it comes to your mother's response. Have you noticed whether your mum is going round in plastic overshoes lately or wearing plastic mittens? Perhaps you've noticed a gauze face mask too, because if you have, I think I can predict what your poor wretched mum is going to say about almost any animal you say you want to have. Ugh, she's going to say, suppressing an urge to vomit, ugh, it's got germs. She uses that word quite a lot, doesn't she? Germs. In fact, to listen to your mum, my goodness, you'd think there was nothing in life except germs. Germs in the kitchen, germs under the bed, germs in the fridge, germs in your socks. To be frank, Anthony, it's a neurotic obsession. I notice you don't mention your father. Obviously, he's been driven away by your mother's crazed preoccupation with microbes, and I sense that you yourself are on the verge of despair. I might just have the answer for you, I think. A pet funnel web. Yes, a pet funnel web. She won't go near it, even if it has got germs, Anthony. I can assure you of that. And it has the bonus of being small and cheap to feed. And now this is Bruce Losis saying goodbye till next time. And please remember, this is very reassuring, I think. Disease is only nature's way of endangering our health.
We present great moments from the cutting room floor, last moments from great movies, and today, an excerpt from the classic Son of Flicka.
You know, Tommy, when I was a kid, your grandpappy and I would go fishing down by the old mill, and we'd sit on an old log and we'd talk.
What'd you talk about, Daddy?
Oh, life, love, the war, women, wine, music.
But what was Grandpappy like, Daddy?
Oh, he was a lot like you, Tommy. Very, very boring.
It's non-stop tedium for all the family tonight on Channel 14. At 6 p.m., stomach-turning, lowest common denominator entertainment as Wayne Hairpiece and Kathy Lobotomy host another edition of That's Disgusting. At 7, it's our repeat of the universally panned American soapie, The Piano Tuners. Thrills for Byron and his bricklayer friend Warren as the guys throw a wild society orgy inside a 22-foot concert Bösendorfer. Then, at 8 p.m., The Renovators, our endless low-budget saga of inner-city life that's as Aussie as a sandstock brick. Find out if Pam and Dave managed to refinance their trendy convict-built cottage. How will Dave handle a fifth job to pay off the new mortgage? And to what lengths is Pam willing to go with a bank manager to get it? Who knows? Who cares? The Renovators. Be there tonight on Channel 14.
Just contemplate words for a moment. Words that are lovely to look at, delightful to touch, the subjective, tactile images of calligraphy. Ancient China produced the earliest writing. The oracle bone. A simple message could be scratched on a bone, handed to a runner, and so the takeaway restaurant delivered. Sadly, wild dogs frequently consumed both bone and runner, leaving suburban paddy fields deserted and lonely. So, next we journey to Egypt and the Valley of the Kings. Here, by the banks of the Nile, stonemasons toil to prepare the first edition of the daily hieroglyph. But although the granite incisions are full of masterly virility, the calligraphy vital and assured, the time factor proved unbeatable. Even with a team of masons, it could take a decade merely to carve the Heliopolis share index. Onwards then to the 3rd century AD and to the invention of paper and true ink and brush calligraphy. Wang Si Chi was a general at the time of the Qin dynasty, and he's universally regarded as the greatest calligrapher of all time. His downfall came with his extreme fondness for swans. He met his end while attempting to use swan's down as a brush while the feathers were as yet attached to the bird. But Cheng Pang Chao, one of the 8 eccentrics of Yang Chao, brought enlightenment to Europe. His tedious journey to Pope Brendan Borgia brought Renaissance Europe the fruition of calligraphy. His Holiness simply reversed the swan feather and invented the quill pen. Since then, there has come a veritable cornucopia of calligraphy. Gutenberg, Caxton, Eric Gill, Women's Weekly, Playboy. So, when next you read the TV guide or scratch out a lotto number, join me in a silent prayer to the consort of calligraphers who have made writing an art and a thing of beauty.
In buoyant trading, Azimuth Surgical Trust was firm at 89 cents, Acme Cultural Cringe down 2 points.
6時 50分 になりました.
This is Mission Control. We have go-ahead, Neil.
Roger, Houston. One small step for man, one giant leap for man.
Neil, that's beautiful, but the ladder is in the way. We'll have to do it again.
What? Okay, back here?
Fine.
One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
You said lip, Neil.
Lip? I'm sure I said leap.
No, it was definitely lip. Moon landing, take 3. Moon landing, take 27.
One small giant for mankind. One small sheep for... No, that's not it, is it? One small man for my kind. No, goddammit, yeah. One tall step, oh bugger.
Moon landing, take 83.
One small step for man. One giant leap for... Oh, son of a bitch! One small step... Prompt! One small step for man. One giant leap for mankind. Hey, I did it!
Hey!
All right! Yeah.
Well done, Neil! You've got the two-step down. Now let's get Buzz down there, and we'll try the tango.
What's your feet picker hit?
Sorry, Buzz.
That's okay.
You dance divinely.
Yeah? Oh, thanks.
Great band, huh?
Yeah, not too bad. Did you, come here often?
No, not really.
You should.
I like you, Buzz.
Oh, I bet you say that to all the astronauts.
Hello, Jim.
Hello, Mrs. Hammond. What would you like today?
Well, I'm just here to pick up a few things before the new Price is Right starts.
Mother's work's never done, eh?
I'll say. Now, for starters, I think I'll have a couple of tins of Win a Trip to Hawaii.
Right.
Half a pound of Chance to Win a Video Recorder.
Right.
And a packet of that You Two Can Own a New Car.
Right. There you go. Anything else?
Do you have any of that, you know, the stuff? You put it in a bowl, and then you pour on some $50,000 prize giveaway, and it goes snap, crackle, and pop.
Ah, you want the free surprise gift in every box.
That's it. Oh, yes. And finally, I think I'll have a loaf of Winner BMX bike.
I'm sorry, love. They're all sold out.
Oh. What about some fantastic slogan contest, then?
No, that's all gone, too.
Hmm, what have you got?
What about a loaf of this?
What is it?
Bread.
Never heard of it. What's it like?
Well, it's just like win a BMX bike, except you don't win a BMX bike.
A strange idea.
Yeah, I think it's some kind of marketing gimmick.
Oh, Jim, I'm tempted, but if there aren't any coupons to send, what do you do with it?
Well, if you like, you can take the slices out and make sandwiches.
Sandwiches? What are they?
Well, you eat them.
Oh, no. No, we never eat at home. We always eat at a hamburger place. They've got such nice contests.
Down in the pub last Saturday night, Farmer Dave, I was three parts tight.
Hi, hi, everybody drink on me.
Underneath the bar stool blotto, he shouted, lads, I've won the lotto.
Hi, hi, everybody drink on me.
Come on, man, everybody.
Have a drink on me. Everybody have a drink on me. Woo. Hey, hey, everybody drink on me. Have a drink, have a drink, have a drink on me. Everybody have a drink on me. Hey, hey, everybody drink on me.
I'll throw my tractor on the old junk pile. From now on I'll be farming in style.
Hey, hey, everybody drink on me.
Me mates will come from near and far to see me ploughing in a Rolls Royce car.
Hey, hey, everybody drink on me.
Come on, fellas, right
now. Have a drink, have a drink, have a drink on me. Everybody have a drink on me. Hey, hey, everybody drink on me. Have a drink, have a drink, have a drink on me. Everybody have a drink on me. Hey, hey, everybody drink on me.
Timo, you ever had enough beer?
Enough beer? What do you mean enough beer? There is never enough beer.
But with Ockerman's Safety Stout, there is. Ockerman's patent recipe of centipods, formaldehyde and sheep dip guarantees total intoxication immediately. No more worries about the booze bust. One glass of Ockerman's Safety Stout and you'll be totally immobile. Sleep for a week and let the world go by. Ockerman's Safety Stout, more potent than hemlock, less hops than frogspawn. Ockerman's, the beer you can trust. Rates of tinnies by the score, no more toil and no more chores.
Hey, hey, everybody drink on me.
To do that daily drudgery, I'll get Jim down from the ABC.
Hey, hey, everybody drink on me.
Last time, fella.
Have a drink, have a drink, have a drink on me. Everybody have a drink on me. Hey, hey, everybody drink on me. Have a drink, have a drink, have a drink on me.
Ah, Wilcox.
Morning, sir. You sent me, sir?
Yes, Captain Wilcox. Please sit down. Look, I'm afraid the warden and I have a little matter we need to discuss with you.
Yes, sir, yes.
Look, we've been looking through your service record here. Excellent, quite excellent.
Oh, thanks, sir.
We're really not unhappy with your performance at all, generally speaking. So we're rather surprised to have to bring you before this disciplinary committee. However, we do view this matter very seriously. What I'm trying to say, Wilcox, is what did you do with the plane?
Ah, yes, sir. Well, I was hoping, sir, you weren't going to ask me that, sir.
Now, look, Wilcox, planes are expensive, not to mention all the relatives and friends who ring us and are naturally concerned for their loved ones. We have to clear this matter up.
Well, with all respect, sir, I have logged over 100,000 flying hours with the airline, and this is the very first time it's happened. I really can't understand all this fuss.
Well, I'm afraid you have to appreciate opposition, Wilcox. A scheduled flight from Sydney suddenly goes missing. We get no word on what's happened. Then 3 weeks later, you show up here in a taxi.
I was hoping no one would notice.
Wilcox, we really must have some details for our insurance company. Now, there's a good chap. Where is the plane?
Oh, I've no idea.
No idea?
No. See, I took it to Bombay Airport, and the arrangement was I was to meet this chappie in the second hangar on the left. I give him the keys, and he gave me the money. No questions asked.
So you're telling the board you sold the plane?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, I sold the plane. Well, you know how it is, sir. Interest rates keep going up. The kids have to go to a new school. The wife wanted a spa. Interest and terribly difficult, sir.
Well, my dear fellow, this is most irregular. How much did you sell it for, Wilcox?
I got a very good price, sir. $2 million, sir, including all in-flight movies and 243 trays of chicken a la king.
I see. Well, what about the passengers and crew?
Well, the crew I threw in the deal, you see. Sheikh Ahmed was particularly taken with the hostesses.
I'm sure he was. And the passengers?
No problems at all, sir. Working their way across the Sahara Desert, crewing the Royal Galley.
Dear, oh dear, this isn't going to look very good on your record, Wilcox.
Oh dear, I'm sorry, sir. It won't happen again, sir.
Is it better not? This sort of thing reflects very badly on the airline. Well, I think in light of your many years of service to the company on this occasion, we'll let you off with a severe reprimand.
That's very good of you, sir.
Plus, we'll be deducting $20 a week from your pay towards the cost of a new jumbo.
Oh, well, thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Oh, and Wilcox?
Sir.
Do you know anyone who might be interested in one of those old DC-10s we've got out the back?
I can tell you just where your next pimple is most likely to be. All over your face.
Mightier than King Kong, meaner than Godzilla, and more vicious than Skippy. It came from Wichimufa.
The Reign of Terror by Jeffrey the Giant Sheep is reaching a climax. In his rampage across Australia, the mutant merino has demolished Perth, eaten Ayers Rock, disrupted the Adelaide Festival, and drunk the Franklin River. Now, the monster is at the gates of Sydney itself, and the scene is awesome.
This is Prakash Berkovich in the I'm Witless Live Eye in the Sky, and it looks like the battle for Sydney is over before it began. The scene below me now is just incredible. I've never seen Jeffrey like this before. He's systematically turning over every bus and knocking over every building in Sydney. It's almost as if he's looking for something. Now wait! He seems to have spotted something. Yes, it's two small figures and he's chasing after them. He's chasing them onto the Sydney Harbour Bridge. What an amazing sight. The giant sheep is perched on top of the Sydney Harbour Bridge. RAAF jet fighters are swarming around him like flies. And the two people he was chasing have stopped in the middle of it all and, yes, they seem to be unpacking something. It looks like musical instruments. They must be out of their minds.
Put that thermos away and hand me my trombone. Here's your sax.
Oh, thank you. Now, what makes you think this'll work, Lil?
Call it a hunch, Harold. But I think this sheep will respond to music. Why else would it be followed us all over Australia? Remember the Perth and Ayers Rock gigs?
Yes. No sooner had we started playing than Jeffrey shows up.
And eats our audience. Then he walks in on our performance at the Adelaide Festival. It's obvious, Harry. Guns and planes will never shift him, but music will. So let's give him a performance he'll never forget. Let's really blow him away. A one, a two, a one.
You were right, Lil. You've saved the bridge. You've saved Sydney. You've saved Australia.
Ah, it was nothing, Pip. Pass me the thermos.
Pass me the turkey, please, Vanessa. Ha! This is the best Christmas dinner you've ever cooked, Legion.
Thank you, Papa.
So all the time, Jeffrey was simply looking for those two musicians. He wasn't trying to destroy Australia at all. Well, it's certainly an amazing story. I can hardly believe it myself. How about you, Rover? Rover?
Some more turkey, Jason.
The story of the giant sheep called Jeffrey has already passed into legend. Some say the monster was a strange being from another planet. Others say it's the product of a deranged imagination. Only a few know the truth. It came from Wintimota.
Hello and welcome to Coping with Stress. The complex pressures of contemporary society can cause serious mental, emotional, and physical problems. With me in the studio is Professor Colin Lang, whose radical approach to stress therapy has brought him to the attention of several royal commissioners. Professor Lang, you're in the vanguard of radical stress therapy. How would you describe your technique? Dr. Lang? Dr. Lang? Wait.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. I was just relaxing. What was the question again?
What is your technique with stress therapy?
Well, first of all, I try to teach people to recognize the symptoms of stress in themselves.
Right.
Take yourself, for example, Gillian. Slightly staring eyes, pinched expression, trembling hands.
I hadn't noticed.
And the telltale traces of anxiety in your voice.
Surely not.
Ah, there you are. Instant denial, typical of the paranoid schizophrenic personality. It's better. Where was I? Of course, broadcasting is a high-stress occupation, but I don't want you to feel badly about it, Gillian.
Well, I don't, Professor Lang. In fact, I...
Calm down, woman, for God's sake! Why is that man staring at me?
Who? Oh, he's the producer.
No, he's not. You're lying to me. Just like the rest of them, they lie to me.
Professor Lang, I assure you, he is the producer. Now, your stress therapy...
Bugger drums!
Professor Lang... Do you mind relaxing? Really, it's all right.
It's all right. It's all right.
Don't give me that.
It's all right.
Don't you think I haven't heard that before? My stress therapy programs consist of relaxation techniques which can be quite simply and easily applied to the everyday work situation. But of course, so can this.
What is that, Professor Lang?
It's a sawn-off shotgun, and I'm going to shoot that man if he doesn't stop staring at me.
Well, I'm afraid that's all we've got time for on Coping with Stress. We'll be back again next week with a special program on coping with psychopaths.
Want to bet?
We've been slightly out to lunch with a script by Tony Baldwin, Kevin Daly, Steve Johnson, Ken Matthews, Colin Bowles, Angela Webber, Adam Bowen, Peter Smalley, David Witts, and John Eubank. It Came from Widgiemooltha was produced by Bob Cubbage. Production assistant Linda Hughes. Script editor Julianne Ford. Sound effects John Farkas. Technical production Warwick Maver. And produced by Kevin Daly and Tony Baldwin.
Minority Radio is here, now. All this week, ABC Radio showcases special programs for minority groups. On Wednesday, the highlight of the week will be a new production of Oliver Twist for cost analysts.
What do you want, boy?
Please, sir, I'd like 20% more porridge with compound interest.
On Friday night, we present the life story of Napoleon for stamp collectors.
Emperor, I have a message from the Tsar of all the Russias for you.
Quick, hand me the letter. This one communication could alter the whole course of European history. And look, it's got one of the latest issue 3-ruble unperforated triangulars with occupation overprint.
And look here, Napoleon, a picture of some snow and a dead horse to commemorate your retreat from Moscow.
Yes, it's a show no keen philatelist can afford to miss, with guest appearances by Brian Brown and a Penny Black. Later the same night, we premiere Fairy Tales for people who hate frogs.
Oh, beautiful princess, I know I seem to be just an ugly frog, but if you will just kiss me once, I will turn into a handsome prince.
Kiss you? I'd rather eat a slug.
Minority Entertainment for all the family on ABC Radio.